want to speak this morning about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who works in your life and my life, and who is working and building this church. And we know that the church was brought together in that upper room, that 120, who were to stay there and were to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And when they received that outpouring, then they began to realize and to see what Jesus meant, that he must go to the Father, and that he must send the Comforter, and that he would come and take that place, and move alongside, and would teach them, and lead them, and guide them. They had to wait for that experience. And without the Holy Spirit's work, none of us will be here or would be here today. Now, we know much about the Holy Spirit. We've come out of the outpouring, the Pentecostal movement. We've heard all, you know, what has been going on over the years, over the last 40, 50 years, and how we saw, again, a sort of revival and people being baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and so on. And we've also, and are experiencing, that from that, God was drawing a remnant to himself out of that outpouring, who would go on beyond that Pentecostal experience and would move into the Book of Acts experience and fulfill the Book of Acts experience. The Book of Acts is often the works of the Holy Spirit, and it's a book that is worth looking and reading because it brings us back to the life of the church. It brings us back to the walk of the early saints, how they walked with God and how the Holy Spirit was sovereign. We know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, how they lied to the Holy Spirit. And that was a tremendous thing that happened there, that they just dropped down dead in the presence of the congregation, in the church, because they had lied. So we get clear indications of how sovereign the Holy Spirit's work and ministry was. And this is what God is continuing to do in this church. He's bringing us back so we are very aware of the Holy Spirit's work in this church, over this church, and in our lives, and what he's doing. And we are going to learn and be taught by the Holy Spirit that godly fear, that you never lie to the Holy Spirit, that you never blaspheme the Holy Spirit, because he introduces to us the personality of God, the life of God, Jesus, to us. If we want to know Jesus, if we want to know the Father, it is found through the work of the Holy Spirit. Cannot be separated. They all work together, unique in oneness. They complete. But God is teaching us, isn't he, to humble ourselves, to bow ourselves in God's presence. He's teaching us that this is very important. It's vital because it protects us from the judgment of God. It protects us from ourselves. So over the years, we have been learning that God requires of us to bow that knee. And then in that bowing of the knee, he works that deliverance. He opens our eyes. He's setting us free. But also there's something else that the Holy Spirit's requiring of us, and that is honesty in his presence. And so God has been teaching us over the years to come, to not hide, to be honest and open in God's presence. Every time we run away from God, there are clear signs that we're not being honest with God. And to be honest with God means that you have to bow the knee. And to bow the knee, it means you have to be honest with God. You cannot hide anything from the Lord. And the Holy Spirit was teaching the early church under the Acts of the Apostles that they were to be transparent, open, and honest before God. And that unity and oneness that the Spirit was building in their fellowship required that. We're told that they had all things common, that they sold things, their possessions, they shared, they went from house to house breaking bread. Well, of course, we know that in those conditions, in those times that they lived, that was exactly what was required. And we're probably going to find ourselves, as we're moving along in this walk, and we're finding that our liberties and our freedoms are gradually being eroded, so we are learning to be one with Christ and each other. It is that transparency. Now, we hear much about talking government today, don't we? That they're striving towards this transparency, with regards to their funds and their finances and so on. We're hearing a lot about that. Well, you can take that principle over to the house of God. God wants us to be transparent. And this is the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. And he will do this if we will let him. He will cause us to be sensitive. He will cause us to be sensitive to the needs that are in the body. He will work with us so that we don't cast a blind eye. He will work with us so that we're not all just mouth and not action. He will do all of that if we remain and stay within this work. But as he does this work, you are going to find that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal himself in a very sovereign way. And he's working the fear of God, which is, of course, that beginning of wisdom. And wisdom has to be applied in understanding the sovereignty of God. So it all works together. And so we get these illustrations in the book of Acts, where we see the Holy Spirit's work, his sovereignty. He guided the church. He guided ministry. He would sometimes say, yes, it's right that you minister there. No, you do not minister there. He would use sometimes the prophets in which to speak that. Or he would use the fivefold ministry to teach, to guide, direct the church. So we are seeing at this present time, through the outpouring of the Spirit, we are seeing God restoring the gifts to the church, restoring to this church. But as he restores with that the sovereignty and work of the Holy Spirit. And he is going to teach us that we dare not lie against the Holy Spirit. We dare not blaspheme his work. He's going to work that transparency in us, that honesty. And honesty may require at times that I have missed it. Or honesty may require that I don't see it. So that he opens our eyes to this work. Now, some of us don't really want our eyes opened. And the reason we don't like our eyes open is because we still want the old ways. We don't want that change. We feel secure because I've walked that way for the last 20 years. And that is why we have found so many of our brothers and sisters have not moved on with us. They stayed at the baptism of the Spirit. Or they've come from the outer court into the inner court. And they're quite happy with the inner court because you can have worship. You can have the gifts. You can speak in tongues. But they still want to be babies. They still want to be told what to do. They still want to run to their elder and ask for that advice. And so they find they don't really move on to the inner court. And the inner court, like each of these courts, requires a revelation. And revelation can only come through the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. But some don't really want that deeper revelation, because it requires a consecration. With every revelation, there comes a consecration because of the responsibility of that revelation. When God opens your eyes and gives you light, which he's doing, there comes with it a responsibility. And what is that responsibility? It is a responsibility, in the light of what you've received, to live it, to apply it. And that takes grace. That takes a working of the Holy Spirit. So every time the Holy Spirit is opening your eyes and my eyes, that is a sovereign work that has been taking place in your life over these years. Otherwise, he's not going to open your eyes to see it. But the wonderful thing about it is that our Father is a God of love. A God of love and mercy and compassion. And he knows the responsibility and the light that he's given to us. And sometimes we just feel, Lord, this is too much. I can't take all of this. But then I find myself, when I'm thinking that, all the times I've even said it, I think, but no, God hasn't made a mistake. I might think he has. I might think that I can't live this or I'm crumbling under this. But God would not have opened my eyes unless he knew in his infinite wisdom that I was able to take this. So once you settle that, you then can move on to the next thing. And this is often how you will find that you press on into the deeper life. Because what is happening, I detect, and will happen, that God is going to open your eyes. He's going to challenge you to things. He's going to bring to the fore those things that we still push away under the carpet, and we tell God, I'm not ready yet for that. I'm not mature yet for that. You know, I'll face that in a year's time. Knowing full well deep in your heart that God isn't listening and he is bringing it to the fore and you have got to face it. Like Job, those things that I feared came upon me. And we've all probably experienced that in one way or another. Why do we do it? Fear? We just don't trust God enough? It's that self that finds that it's being threatened with God's will, you know? And somehow the Holy Spirit works this until we come to that place of surrender, and then he begins to move us into that next thing that he has for us. Or that very thing that we feared, he moves us right into that and shows us that is going to be your deliverance. You see, a lot of your deliverances are the things that you fear that have come upon you. But that's the very means in which God works that deliverance. Now, what is that that's happening? That is the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit active in your life and in the church. And what is happening to you was clearly happening in the book of Acts. They were going through exactly the same. They were probably going through a physical persecution, whereas we are not going through a physical persecution, but we may be going through a persecution or a trial, I should say, and deliverance of years and centuries of bondage, of sin. We are going through persecution, trial of where God is drawing us away from those things that we have relied upon. We've relied upon the arm of the flesh. If you looked in those days in the book of Acts, there wasn't such a reliance upon the arm of the flesh. I mean, it was there, don't get me wrong. It has always been there. But it was not to the degree that we find now in this generation, where the world is so dependent in its idolatrous form on the arm of the flesh. Remember, to rely upon the arm of the flesh, to put that first before God, is idolatry. And God said, you will have no other idols beside me. He will cast down those idols. So those idols that have been cast down in your life are those idols of where we've been depending upon others, upon the arm of the flesh. It's not just for healing, not just for finances, but it's for so many things. You can be depending upon the arm of the flesh for receiving insight from God. In other words, God's wanting to open your eyes, God's wanting to teach you, but you can't trust God, you still run to man for it, because he'll give you all the answers you want to know. That's idolatry. That's idolatry. That's been a big thing in our circles over the years. But God's gradually been breaking down those idols so that you hear from God yourself. God teaches you. And of course you know, as well as I do, when God teaches you, when he opens your eyes to something, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it, because it's retained, it's held, it's there. It's in your heart, isn't it, you see? So God has been doing this work over the years, this sovereign work of the Spirit in your life. But what he's going to start to do, I believe, with this church, and I can't speak for other churches, but he's going to start to move us into an experience where we're going to have the fear of God with regard to the Holy Spirit. He's going to become sacred. He's going to become most holy. And we're going to find that we're going to guard what we say. Our life, our actions, our going out, our coming in. The Holy Spirit is going to refine us and make us very, very sensitive. But the grace will be there for that work. And as we always keep saying, week after week, you cannot do that in yourself. That will be the work of the Holy Spirit. Because for the church to be empowered, the church to come back and to move forward for the latter rain, there has to be a great work and emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Because he's the agent. He is the one who is going to give this all back to the Father for his glory. So he's invested much in this work. He's going to guard. He's going to preserve. He's going to keep. He's going to empower that all of this is fulfilled for one purpose. For God's glory. And he's going to make you a part of that. You're going to be involved in that. And so he has to work with you and me in order for that to be achieved. And that is why he's working this holiness in our lives. This separation. This cleaning up work that he's doing. Because the Holy Spirit, who is holy, knows that if he doesn't do that, you're going to be burnt up. Or it may be an Ananias and Sapphira experience. You'll just suddenly drop dead in the presence of God. So he knows that. And so he's going to do that work of clothing. He's going to put on those garments without spot or wrinkle or blemish. He's going to do that work. And all you and I do is stay in it, and let him do it. That is the key to this work. You can't do it. It isn't your efforts. It isn't how much you pray, how much you fast, how much you read the word. Whatever you do in a sort of religious way, and all of that has a point, so don't get me wrong. It is as we stay with this and yield over to the Holy Spirit's sovereign work, he comes to take over. If anything you read in the book of Acts, one of the key signs as you read it is the Holy Spirit is there to take over. And he did. He took over when they had that testimony that they were turning the world upside down. He took over. He took over when he baptized them in the upper room. He took over when they fled through persecution and they went out and started to spread that word, the good news, under persecution. He took over. He took over when the Lord worked through the apostles and through their ministry. And when they were put in prison, he took over and he released them. Even at the martyrdom of Stephen, he took over and he used that. He took over through their trials. The Apostle Paul, Saul, who was converted. There is the Holy Spirit taking over. A sinful man, a murderous man, coming against the early Christians. There you see the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit took over and took hold of that man. Then you see the Holy Spirit's sovereign work through that man, moving then to the Gentiles and bringing the good news of the gospel. There's the Holy Spirit taking over. Unless the Holy Spirit takes over in your life and in your ministry, it's in vain. It's never going to work. Never going to work. Unless the Holy Spirit takes me over as a preacher, teacher and pastor, it's never going to work. And so we must become sensitive to that work. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you where you do nothing unless He moves and takes over in your life. When we see the early works, when we see the miracles that took place, the dead that were raised from the dead, that was the Spirit taking over and doing it, you see. It's a sovereign work. And unless He does that, you remain where you are. You can't call that down. You can't create that. You can't make revivals, which man has tried to do. And we've seen how he's fouled that up. And what in fact he actually does by trying to do it, he starts to open the door to the occult. And you get things like the Toronto phenomenon, so on. And there's new things coming up on the horizon, I hear. I've just had some things posted to me. I knew there'd be more fodder from Toronto. I thought, we haven't seen the last of that. That's just the beginning of it. Why? Because these guys are trying to make it happen. They're prophesying promises that can never be fulfilled. So what have they got to do? They've got to try and create it themselves to keep it. To keep the place big. To keep the money coming in. So it's this entertainment. So they move more and more into magic. Wizardry. So they have to tap in to the occult to entertain, to keep the people occupied, amused. See? You can see how it happens. But that is not a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can draw. Only the Holy Spirit can add to this church. We can wish for more. And I do. Because it's healthy for the Holy Spirit to add to the church. But He's going to do it in His right time. Yeah. I can't stop that. What I do know is the Holy Spirit's sovereign work has got all of us because He's going to get us right first. Yeah. He's working and getting this right first. He's getting our hearts right. He's getting our attitudes right. He's getting our faith right. He's getting our lives right. He's getting our behavior right. Then He'll start to do this work. Quite humbling, isn't it? You're saying to me, well, we've been at this for over 30 years. How long does it take? Lifetime. But He's doing it. Because when they start to come, when we start to see those greater works, they will be very aware that is the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. And no man, woman will dare touch it. You see, He's still working at us. He's still, because there's still an area of us want to tamper, want to interfere, want to get the intellectual mind. This will be a good idea, you know. Won't have it. When God starts to add, when He starts to lead you, when He starts to take over and take you alongside some, whatever it is, you will move with all the guidance, direction, revelation that He gives. You will not dare try to put your penny's worth in. You won't. The time is finished. That's what I mean by sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. You won't dare. You won't even utter, breathe a suggestion to help Him or whatever. He will do the whole work. And He will have trained you to do that. Just like soldiers are trained in the army. Whatever they're told to do, they don't question it, they do it. That's the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we see He started to do in the early church. And He promised a former and a latter reign. Now, the question that I'm raising is, has the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit changed over His church over the centuries? No. He started a work there. Man fouled it up, which is called denominationalism. Fouled it up, but The Lord says, okay, let them have their own way. And for centuries, he's let the church, to a certain extent, have its own way, just like Israel. You can see the parallel, can't you, of Israel's history and the church's history. Do you know, it's really opened my eyes up. I thought, do you know, talk about history repeating itself. All we see is just the church doing what Israel did. Rebelled in the wilderness. God said, right, I'm giving you over. And for a season, you can go your own way. I'm still in control. But in the last days, I'll restore you back for my glory. We see the church doing exactly the same. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Called out of bondage. Given the precious Holy Spirit. He's come to take over. To be Lord. To be sovereign. And they say, we don't want the Holy Spirit. We want to look like other churches, like other nations. Didn't Israel make exactly the same mistake? So God gave them Saul. They've done exactly the same with the Holy Spirit. Don't want it. We want to be like the rest of them. We don't want to look peculiar. Separated. Okay? Have your own way. Go and have your leaders. Have your popes. Have your vicars. And so we've had centuries of them bringing nothing but bondage. What have they done? Exactly like Saul did, false sacrifice. They place themselves in the priesthood, and they should never be there. Shouldn't be behind the pulpits. You have to be called from the foundation of the world. So we've seen history, years, centuries of the church just going along, just a remnant. God's preserved, just going on. Then we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly things change. Israel's now become a nation. She's being restored. The church now is being restored. What's happening? The Holy Spirit, the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, is bringing back the headship and revelation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because you've got to have that revelation. You can't build anything unless you see him. And so it's being restored again. The same as Israel is being restored. And so we see the work, don't we, with the land of Israel, the nation of Israel, and we see the church. That's why I've said the two are parallel and they walk together. They're sisters in many ways. And so we're now in this process of restoration. We are being restored. We're being restored so that God now can finish that work that he started at Acts, at Pentecost. He's let man have his way with all those centuries. He's now coming back and saying, you're now going to do it my way. And so he's supplied, he's baptized us, he's equipped us to do that restoration work. And now the Holy Spirit has to come back and be sovereign to fulfill the latter rain blessing. You will never see or experience the latter rain blessing unless the Holy Spirit is sovereign. When he becomes sovereign, God is recognized then in his sovereignty. You can theologically talk about the holiness of God. You can theologically make a study about God's sovereignty, but it will only be academic. Only the Holy Spirit can impart that experience of the holiness and sovereignty of God. Because the Holy Spirit is precisely that. He also is sovereign. Most holy. And that is why he is the one that can be blasphemed. Now of course, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is, in case some of you are getting a bit concerned, I had a phone call the other day from someone who said, I've got a feeling I've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. So I said, well, come on, let's hear what you've done and everything. And I thought, talk about the devil twisting and deceiving people. Bless his heart, he hadn't anything but that's what the devil was telling him. I said, no, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is when you tell the Holy Spirit, when you tell God, I don't want you anymore in my life. Go and don't come back. I said, have you done that? He said, God forbid. No way. I said, well, you haven't blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Because I said, that's what it is. I said, they may not necessarily say it in so many words like that, but in action, in thought, in deed, in heart, that's exactly what they want. That is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. See? Because what more can God do? You have thrown away that precious gift of eternal life. You see? So, we're going to see all of this being restored. But not only being restored, but out of this restoration, God is birthing the man-child, the bride that is getting herself ready. So the latter rain, being a latter rain blessing, the latter rain means that in that latter rain will be the overcomers. The overcomers were not in the former rain. The latter rain is for the overcomers, because the overcomers have a twofold ministry. Not only will they be used partly before they're taken away, but in that taking away, that snatching away, your ministry then comes into operation through the millennial, through the tribulation. That is all part of the understanding of the latter rain outpouring. That was not for the former, it is for the latter. So there is the double blessing that's coming. Now, how many have seen in the latter rain outpouring? I've heard much taught about the latter rain. You've still got churches today that teach about the latter rain. But what is the latter rain? The latter rain is fundamentally the revelation of the sons of God. That is its blessing. That is its purpose, its aim. That is what the church that is going to be left has to see. Many at present don't see the man-child. They may be aware of it. They may say, oh yes, well, you know, we see it in Romans and Galatians, yes, that, you know, a Christian must grow up and take on responsibility just like an adopted son. That's probably how they see it. But they don't know it experientially. The actual revelation of the man-child, Revelation 12, hid in the woman's womb, they don't know that. You'll read all these different interpretations as to what it actually means. But that is part of the latter rain. That is its blessing. Why is it hid? God has a very specific purpose in order to have the man-child hid. Firstly, because it is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can hide this man-child. Because the dragon tries to have a go, does he not? He's very near. And he's there to try and destroy, or to abort, or catch the man-child that is caught away. So he knows, by trying to catch that man-child, that man-child is specific for the latter rain and for the glory of God. He knows also that man-child being called away is instrumental in dealing with him, the dragon. That's why Satan isn't stupid. The question is, did we know that? Do we know that? That is why he attacks your life like he does. That's why God has allowed him to have close access. When you can look at your other brothers and sisters and say, well, they don't go through half and a quarter of what we go through or I'm going through. Why don't they feel this? Why is it I've gone through this trial, they've gone through the very same trial, didn't affect them, but it has me. Well, I'll tell you why, because God's made your conscience more sensitive. That's why. Because he's preparing you. They still don't want to know. They run away from it. But you realise you can't. You have to go through the fire, you see. All of that's preparation. We're going through our trials. We're thinking, Lord, can you remove me from this? I can't take any more of this. This has gone on for years. And you know another brother or sister, maybe goes through another church, gone through exactly the same trial, but found an easy alternative. And not only did they find an easy alternative, but it also looks as though they're being blessed. That's a hard one, isn't it? I don't understand, Lord. I've been walking this. I've been going through this trial for years. And look at that person. Very same trial. Not only found an easy way out, but he's been doubly blessed as well. and boasting about it. Well, King David went through that one. You read his Psalms, cried out to the God. Why does it seem the wicked prosper? And they do outwardly for a season. They are outwardly, I'm not going to deny it, they're outwardly for a season actually prospering. But what is their end? That is the question. What is their end? Fearful. So God says, he's going to let you know what your end is going to be. Blessing. Ruling and reigning with Jesus. And that is why, by the grace of God, we stay in there. And he enables us and he helps us. And yes, it does look as though we are laughable. It does look as though we're going under. It does look to the world, well, why on earth do you go through that? I can tell you there's a far easier way. But you know that that isn't the easy way. That is the point. How do you know this? Because the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to see it. That is the point. They don't see it. Now, because brothers and sisters in other churches don't see it, that should be a clear indication to you, to this church, that you are going to help and feed them when they're going to go through, eventually, the great tribulation. Because we know the woman flees. She's still preserved, she's still kept. But she flees, she realises something dramatic has happened. She's missed it a mile off. So there you see a turning point. And that is why you are a type of saviours that God is working with. With a small s, by the way. Type of saviours. See, when God's ever called men and women, he makes type of saviours out of them. We see them as high priests, sacrificing for their rebellious family, or interceding for the neighbourhood, or that, or the nation, whatever. You see, don't you, right through the Bible, from the patriarchs, where God's used them to intercede. Abraham intercedes for Lot. What are you doing? Interceding for your family. Those that seem to be going from bad to worse. So we're type of saviours. What are we doing? God's going to use us for the church that should know better. That has the word of God. But rejects going on into the deeper life. Here again is the work of this type of saviours. To help them. To turn their eyes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the work, you see. When you're praying and interceding for your family, your loved ones, what you are doing is, Father, turn their eyes to Jesus. Because there's no hope otherwise. That's what you're doing. That is what you're interceding for. They're the knocks that you take. Parents, are you taking knocks from your family, from your children? Rebellion and whatever? Yes, you are. You're taking all the knocks. You're taking all that they throw at you. And what do? You intercede. You stand in the gap. Father, open their eyes to Jesus. Type of saviours. And it will be types of saviours that will come upon Mount Zion. That 144 to help save the world from the Antichrist. Because at that time, when this overcomers, and I'll bring this now to a close, as the overcomers come to minister to the woman, they come right at the right time, because it looks at that point as though the Antichrist, the powers of darkness, are winning the battle. Are winning the battle. And suddenly the light of God's Holy Spirit will come and bring hope to the church that looks as though it's going under. And then the two witnesses come, which we believe are Elijah and Moses, come at the right time for Israel when it looks as though every Jew is going to be martyred on the face of the earth. They then come again at the right time to bring light, hope, under persecution. Can you see now how God's doing it? Can you see why this is such a precious work God's doing in this church, in your life, my life? This is far, far bigger than we realize, you know? But the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit must be sovereign first and foremost before we can ever move into the next thing. And he's protecting us. He's protecting us from ourselves. He's protecting us from those areas where we still want to remain blind. But God won't let us remain blind. He's going to open our eyes to see. So it's wonderful, isn't it? What a future. What a hope. And I can only give this to you. I couldn't make this up in a million years. I mean, if a lot heard this, that what I'm saying today, they'd section me under the Mental Health Act. Would. Absolutely. You'd be seeing me carted off. But we know in our hearts, because we see it in the Word of God, because the sovereign Holy Spirit has come to move alongside, to take your life over, my life over, and he's opening our eyes to see it. How blessed.